Today on Annenberg Radio News.
I mean, even without this economy, I've been dreading the moment where I'm going to have to get out of college and start doing everything myself.
Find out what desperate college students are doing to pump up their resumes. Good afternoon from the University of Southern California, and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for Thursday, September 24th. I'm Brittany Knotts. Today was the first day of classes for most University of California campuses, but instead of going to class, hundreds of UCLA students and faculty took part in a system-wide strike. They are protesting higher tuition rates, layoffs, and furloughs due to state budget cuts. Hundreds of students, faculty, and staff attended a noontime rally in the school's Bruin Plaza. Most classes were not canceled, though many professors said they would discuss the issue in class. At Cal State LA, students and faculty marched as well, but no one skipped class to do it. The protesters were raising awareness about a $750 million cut from the state this year that triggered proposals for a 31% fee hike and reduced classes. Lauren Whaley reports.
On the first day of school today, faculty, students, and staff gathered in the bright sun, carrying signs of protest. Their signs matched their chanting. Statewide budget cuts have increased tuition, reduced salaries, and even laid off some faculty. And when faculty get laid off, classes are canceled. Senior Luisa Flores says she feels an obligation to protest.
I should be graduating this year, but I just got word that one of my classes was canceled yesterday. And so that pushes back my already postponed graduation date.
Tuition at Cal State LA went up $1,000 since last year. Protesters say students are paying more and getting less. Melina Abdullah, professor of Pan-African Studies, worries about the bigger implications.
The California State University system is the system that educates working class students. And without this system, it means the working class is kind of locked into, you know, subsistence level work.
I want the public to contact the state legislators, contact the governor.
Francisco Beldarama is a professor of history and Chicano studies.
Tell them about their concerns. Tell them that the children in their own families, the children in the neighborhoods that they live in, aren't having the opportunity to get an education. That's really the key thing. It's an issue of passion for us.
This event kicked off what will be a week of actions, which include another picketing session next Monday and a town hall meeting next Thursday on campus. Lauren Whaley, Annenberg Radio News.
Healthcare workers from local hospitals announced they filed petitions to join the National Union of Healthcare Workers. The workers are now represented by the Service Employee International Union, or SEIU. Michael Torres is a respiratory therapist at USC Medical Center.
People understand the issues. People understand that they don't want to be a part of SEIU, and we're being kept down by SEIU's legal team, and we're being successful.
But SEIU denies it's lost sight of workers' needs. SEIU Steve Trossman says NUHW's claims don't hold up.
These are the same charges they've been making for 8 or 9 months, and they've gotten no traction with members for the simple fact that they're not true.
NUHW got 1,600 people signed up for their petition today. The California Department of Public Health announced today that 11 California hospitals have been fined for safety violations. Each hospital must pay $25,000 in violations that in some cases led to serious injury or death. Four LA County hospitals were fined, including the LA County USC Medical Center. The Los Angeles-based group is taking steps to repeal California's same-sex marriage ban. The group, Love, Honor, Cherish, proposed a ballot language today to strike down Proposition 8, which was approved by voters last year. The push comes as other gay rights organizations argue that it is too soon for another expensive ballot fight. Boyle Heights moved to the sound of mariachis this morning. A new high school has opened in the neighborhood. LaTanya Kirkland has more.
Residents, students, and city officials gathered in celebration of the opening of the Felicitas and Gonzalo Mendez Learning Center in Boyle Heights. The center is the first high school built in the East Side in over 80 years. Students are looking forward to the new chapter ahead.
Well, I think it's good because we're like the first generation to be in a new school that has been built in over 80 years. So I think that's a privilege for us because we're new students and a new high school and in a community of East LA. It's a very good opportunity.
The school is named for Felicitas and Gonzalo Mendez. In 1945, the couple took the Orange County School Board to federal court when their children were not allowed to attend an all-white elementary school. Monique Mendez Martinez, the couple's granddaughter, shared in the enthusiasm.
It's nice to know that other people are aware of what our parents did to help out and to end segregation. And it's because of them that we have the opportunities of going to the schools we did, being able to go to elementary, junior high, high school, and then graduating from college. It's a great, great accomplishment for them to give us this opportunity.
Los Angeles Mayor Villaraigosa noted the significance of the Mendez cause, comparing it to Brown versus Board of Education and the fight for desegregation for African American students. He also commended the school's intended focus on math and science.
I had to pick something that was important in terms of learning. These are the areas of learning that we should be focusing our kids on, because they're the areas of learning that are going to create the good jobs in the future.
The Mendez Center has been placed within Mayor Villaraigosa's partnership of charter schools. This decision is met with criticism from LAUSD Superintendent Raymond Cortinez. However, School Board President Monica Garcia is determined to pull every available resource to prepare students for the future.
But we have a real challenge where kids in Boyle Heights are not graduating, and that has been true all of my life. So people can continue to challenge each other on how do we get to 100% better, but we are focused on proficiency. We are focused on preparing children to be college ready and career prepared. We are focused on using resources, community groups, partners, anyone who wants to come and be part of the solution.
The first class from the Mendez Learning Center will graduate in 2011. LaTanya Kirkland, Annenberg Radio News.
The California Public Interest Research Group, or CalPERG, is urging the U.S. Senate to pass a bill supporting the creation of green jobs. Karen Marcus has the story.
Hi, my name is Will, and I'm calling regarding the American Clean Energy and Security Act.
In front of a poster of Kermit the Frog saying, "It's finally easy being green," USC students picked up their cell phones and called their senators. CalPERG's Ari Simon says they are asking senators to pass the Green Jobs Bill.
The beauty of this call-in day is that, you know, there's one thing about educating people, but this actually gives students the opportunity to directly call their senators.
The goal of the American Clean Energy and Security Act is to reduce global warming pollution while creating jobs and energy independence. Bill H.R. 2454 was introduced in May. It's sponsored by California Democrat Henry Waxman. The House of Representatives passed the bill earlier this year. Student Yvette Ferrer says she and other CalPERG members are now waiting for the Senate to do the same.
And it'll probably dictate what America's role is in terms of sustainability for the next 20 or 30 years. So making sure that we have a very strong bill in order to make to have a cleaner America is very critical. We're at a really critical turning point in which America needs to decide its role. And this bill will decide that.
The Senate is expected to vote on the bill later this year. Karen Marcus, Annenberg Radio News.
Firefighters continue to battle a more than 25-square-mile wildfire in Ventura County. The fire is north of Moore Park and is threatening dozens of homes. 1,800 firefighters and 20 helicopters are working in 100-degree heat. The fire is 40% contained. Meanwhile, firefighters have made progress on the so-called station fire in the Angeles National Forest. It is expected to be fully contained tonight. And now for the weather. Tonight, temperatures will drop, getting down to a low of 66 degrees. Tomorrow, you can expect partly cloudy skies with a high of 93 and an evening low of 65. For the weekend, a slight cool down. Temperatures will remain in the high 80s to low 90s with an evening low or with evening lows in the mid 60s. Later on Annenberg Radio News, higher education is taking a beating in California. We'll hear from UCLA students and workers angry over budget cuts. Most college students complete an internship before they graduate, and during a recession, companies are eager to find unpaid labor. But as Timothy Beckworth tells us, there's a new way for college students to land top internships, and not everyone thinks it's fair.
Kennedy Phillips is a senior majoring in film at the University of Central Florida. This summer, he applied for an internship with almost every entertainment company in Orlando.
Orlando is a kind of a saturated market. Everybody's trying to get a job there, an intern there, either part-time, full-time internship. Everyone's trying to get it. Nobody's getting anything.
So Phillips decided to look for a job in Los Angeles. He turned to a company called the University of Dreams. It offers paid internships. Not internships that pay money, but internships that are paid for. The fee, $8,000. As recent graduates move back home in droves, some parents are taking preemptive steps. They're reaching for their wallets to give their kids an edge in the job hunt. The money goes towards room and board, plus a weekend trip to Vegas. Eric Normington heads marketing for University of Dreams, the largest internship placement company in the U.S.
The reason why students are paying for the experience that we provide in our internship program is primarily because the traditional ways that students have gone about finding and securing an internship are no longer successful for them.
With students facing the worst job market in decades, relying on your academic advisor or online job postings might not be enough. Often the easiest way to get a job is to know someone. Students like Phillips are paying for those connections. Dr. John Rogers at the UCLA Institute for Democracy and Education Access says when students pay for opportunity, others lose it.
I think it's definitely a class issue. In 2009, about 58% of seniors had done an internship. If you look at students whose families' incomes were below $30,000, they participated in internships at a far lower rate.
Not everyone can afford to spend a summer without paychecks. Rogers says the University of Dreams is only increasing that divide.
Now, when you raise the cost of those internships by having their families purchase that access, that raises serious questions about the ability of students to move from low-income status to middle-income status via education. That's deeply problematic.
The University of Dreams does offer scholarships for low-income students. 4% of students receive some aid, and the company is making more than $50,000 in grants available next year. But Marlene Simons, a career advisor at Mount St. Mary's University, thinks students and their families pay enough for education already.
It's an intriguing notion, and most of my students are on loans and grants and scholarships. On the face of it, it just seems like kind of an elitist kind of thing. I probably wouldn't advise my students to pay for an internship.
But even an internship and a dream don't guarantee success in the job hunt. That's something Kennedy Phillips is all too aware of.
I mean, even without this economy, I've been dreading the moment where I'm going to have to get out of college and start doing everything myself.
When that moment comes, Phillips will have to find a job the old-fashioned way. I'm Timothy Beckworth, Annenberg Radio News.
To our top story now. Students and faculty workers marked the first day of classes at the University of California with a walkout, as CJ Doblo reports on the protest at UCLA over state budget cuts.
Students and workers united for justice! Students and workers!
On their first day of school, UCLA students, faculty, and other campus employees left their classrooms and their jobs. They were protesting both increases in student tuition and the university's cutback to salaries. Other UC campuses throughout the state have also staged similar demonstrations today. Students like graduate Cheyenne Corona say the hikes in tuition ruins the opportunity for minorities to afford a higher education.
And so they keep taxing the consumer, which is the students. And so we keep having to pay every year more and more money for our tuition.
It wasn't just faculty and students there. Other university staff took part in the walkout. Rita Hope works at the campus purchasing department.
If we don't stand together in solidarity, no one will be able to work at this UC
walk
and make
out,
a living
fight
wage.
Back, walk out, fight back, walk out, fight back.
Chance to lay off UCLA President Mark Udoff reflected the anger directed at the UC Board of Regents. Labor union protesters blocked off delivery entrances to the Ronald Reagan Hospital. By midday, several unions joined a main rally by the Bruin Plaza as a crowd circled the plaza. Armed with picket signs and bullhorns, young adults together with seasoned employees pressed close to one another. They planned to return to work and to classes the following day. But today, on Thursday, their first day of class, they want to be sure the regents heard them. This is C.J. Domlo, Annenberg Radio News.
Earlier, I spoke to Patrick Callen, the president of the National Center for Public Policy and Higher Education, about the cuts to education. About a decade ago, the UCs and Cal States were a model for public education in terms of programs and access, but recently they've slipped. So what caused that slide initially?
We haven't put much emphasis on being cost effective, so that when these economic downturns have come along, we've been particularly vulnerable. By the same token, this particular set of cutbacks is so severe. It's really sort of part of a major retrenchment of the whole public sector in California that I'm not sure that if they had done everything right over the last decade, we wouldn't still have a lot of pain and suffering going on right now.
With tuition rates being raised, some students won't be able to attend unless they can get financial aid. So will university-sponsored financial aid go out the window with these budget cuts?
Well, it will be inadequate. When you add up all of the financial aid that the universities are putting in, and much of that is coming out of tuition dollars, it's coming from other students. And so it's part of the reason tuition keeps going up is we're dedicating 30% or so of the new tuition we picked to financial aid. But that means, you know, some students are having big tuition increases. It may be the only alternative we have, but to pay for the aid of others. But when you add it all up, the state and local and institutional and federal financial aid that will be available, it will be inadequate to meet the demands. And so we will have a reduction of access. Students are, as usual, the ones who get, everybody's being hurt, but students are being hurt the worst.
Everyone's feeling the effects of the recession. So is there any way that states and public universities can keep education safe amidst all these cuts that are having to be made?
No, I don't think so. I think the cuts are, certainly we could do a lot better job of setting priorities in higher education and focusing on the most important things and being more efficient and cost effective. Higher education hasn't put much emphasis on that in California. I mean, we've had increases even in years when we've had good budgets.
Okay, thank you so much for your time, Patrick.
Okay, good to talk with you.
You too. And that was Patrick Callen, president of the National Center for Public Policy and Higher Education. Researchers have finally discovered an experimental vaccine that prevents infection with the AIDS virus. The vaccine, which is a combination of two previously unsuccessful vaccines, cut risk by more than 31% in the 16,000 test volunteers in Thailand. The World Health Organization and the UN agency, UNAIDS, said the results instilled new hope in the field of HIV research. Imagine life without periods, commas, and question marks. For this National Punctuation Day, we sent out Sydney Champion to discover punctuation favorites.
My favorite punctuation mark is an exclamation point.
Exclamation mark, because it's fun and exciting.
The semicolon, because it allows me to write really long and over-pretentious sentences.
Maybe a period, because it means an end. It means you have finished something and you have a new start.
An exclamation mark.
Why is that?
It's pretty.
Now we check in with Rachel Thomas to find out what's coming up on Annenberg TV News at 6 p.m. on Trojan Vision. Rachel?
Thanks, Brittany. Tonight on ATVN, hundreds of protesters picket UC campuses across California. Hear how UC President Mark Udoff responds to the walkout. We'll have the latest updates on firefighters' efforts to contain the Guyberson Fire in Ventura County, a fire so big smoke can be seen from nearly 20 miles away. And plans for a new LA County NFL stadium gained some yards today. Coming up on Annenberg TV News at 6 on Trojan Vision. You can also watch us on the web at atvn.org. Brittany?
Thanks a lot, Rachel. That wraps it up for today. For all of us here at Annenberg Radio News, I'm Brittany Knotts. Have a good night.